a number of scriptures that the Bible tells us why Jesus came. And the first one is found in Luke chapter 19, the first one we'll look at. And Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 is that verse, but we will look at the first 10 verses of the chapter of Luke chapter 19. Though we're not told the date that Jesus was born, we do know that he was born in Bethlehem. Some would say that it wasn't in the year zero, whatever the year zero, however you figure that would be, but probably somewhere around 4 BC or something like that. But the fact is, we don't know exactly when Jesus was born. We don't know what time of the year it is. I've heard many say that it was probably in the springtime. Some I've heard say it was in the fall. The fact is, we don't know when he was born exactly, but we do know that he was born. As very complete historical records, of course, the scriptures themselves, which we trust the word of God, is definitely states that Jesus did come. This time of the year, we tend to think about that, and the date has been set in December as a date that celebrates Jesus coming to the earth. Some controversy over that date, I suppose. And there are many traditions associated with this Christmas season, this season of the year. Some traditions are very traditional things that have no origin in Scripture. Some of them, of course, do have connections to Scripture. Most of them are probably harmless in themselves, but unfortunately, many draw people's minds away from why Jesus came. A lot of celebration for Christmas has really become a commercial activity. The merchants want you to celebrate Christmas. They don't care about Jesus, many of them, but they want you to celebrate Christmas because Christmas is the season for giving. And the season for giving means a season for spending. And so they're very happy if you will spend a lot of money. Often, unfortunately, Christmas has become a time of the year where the average person uses it as an excuse to overspend and overeat and take time off work. That's probably a lot of what people look forward to at this time of the year, in addition to receiving gifts. Many have removed Jesus from the celebrations altogether, while some have sentimentalized Christmas to such an extent that probably some people think, wow, wouldn't it be awesome to just to have a little baby in a cute little stable with those cute little animals doing their little lowing and you know, in the background and so on? Well, no, I don't think any mother would want to have their child in a stable, and probably in all likelihood that stable was a cave that probably wasn't the most pleasant place to be at any time of the year, certainly not the fitting place for the birth of a king, but that's where Jesus was born. But unfortunately, people have taken and they have taken away from the true meaning of Christmas by talking about these many other things and sentimentalizing Christmas to such an extent. Well, the Bible doesn't instruct us specifically to celebrate the birth of Christ. We do know there was great celebration on the day Jesus was born. God sent angels from heaven to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. Those angels came and they said it was a day to bring glory to God. It was a day that good tidings were to all people. After Jesus was born, the shepherds went to see him. And what did they do? They went and spread abroad the word. They rejoiced and they said, this is worthy of celebration. This is something that brings joy to our world. Just a few weeks later, about 40 days after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to dedicate him and to offer the sacrifices. And there were two people in the temple, Simeon and Anna, and they caused great rejoicing. And they said, this is a day of great joy. Simeon said, Lord, now I can go to heaven. Now I can die because I've seen the Christ. And so certainly there was great rejoicing at that time. And so I don't think it's wrong to celebrate Christmas time. I don't believe that it's wrong to celebrate the coming of Christ. I believe we should celebrate the fact that he came. It shouldn't be isolated to one time of the year or one day of the year, because it is a day that, if we realize what took place that day, impacts not only that day of the year, but our every day of our life and every moment through history and for all of eternity because Jesus came. So over the next few weeks, we'll look at the reasons that he came, which I trust will make your Christmas celebrations a little bit deeper in their meaning and realize that it's not only December the 25th, but every day of the year we can celebrate the fact that Jesus came. And by the way, you realize that the controversy over Jesus coming and the meaning of his coming has been blurred from the very beginning, hasn't it? And people at Jesus' day didn't understand why he came. And people today celebrate Christmas and they have no idea why Jesus came. But this few messages, I trust, will be a help and a blessing to us as we consider the meaning of Jesus coming to the earth. And here in Luke chapter 19, a familiar verse, a familiar story, but one that has a great impact on our celebration at this time of the year. Luke 19 verse 1 says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Notice verse number 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to save. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can be here today. Thank you for this great story that took place many years ago, but has a message for us today. And I pray, Lord, that as we consider this time of the year, when we celebrate the coming of Jesus, that we would realize that there is much reason to celebrate because of the reason that you came. And this morning, Lord, we consider this great reason that you came to save, a truth that is found throughout the Scriptures, and we rejoice in it today and pray that it would be a blessing to our hearts to consider it as you've recorded it for us in this passage of Scripture today. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think this morning about Jesus passing. Jesus passing. It says in verse 1, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jesus went to many cities during his earthly ministries, many towns, many places. Some of them are named, many of them are, but some of them are not even named. But this one is named. This city, Jericho, was obviously a city that has great historical significance. Back in, when we get back to our study and the children of Israel traveling through and getting settled into the promised land, Lord willing, in the new year, we will see very soon into that study again, Jericho factors in greatly into Israel's history. Jesus went to Jericho this day, but it was not a sightseeing trip, although I'm sure it would have been interesting to see that city. Jesus went because it was a people-seeing visit. He went and passed through Jericho, and the Bible tells us that there was a certain man named Zacchaeus that was there, and he was chief among the publicans, and he was rich, a publican. Jericho was an important city, as we mentioned, in the time of Christ. It was also important. It was home to many priests and Levites. Some have said up to 12,000 priests and Levites lived in Jericho. Remember the story Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan, about the Levite and the priest traveling between those two cities. Why? Because when they did serve their course in the temple, they traveled along that road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And when they were done, they went back to Jericho. But Jesus didn't go that day specifically to see the priests and the Levites that were there. I believe that Jesus went there that day specifically to meet many people, yes, some of the priests and Levites, yes, but I believe that he had a particular man in mind named Zacchaeus, because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus, it said, was a publican. A publican was a tax collector. How many people like tax collectors? Probably not very many. In that day, even less. Why? Because a tax collector that was a Jew was considered a traitor because they were working for the Romans. A tax collector often greased their own palms because basically as long as the Romans got what belonged to them, they didn't mind if the tax collector, took a little extra on the side. And so the publicans were not looked at very highly. As you can see, as what we read there, he was a sinner. That's what people considered him to be, a sinner, because he was a publican. He was a traitor. This was not just any publican, but Zacchaeus was a chief among the publicans. He'd put himself up through the ranks of being a publican, and now he basically controlled the other publicans in the area, presiding over them. And because of his position, he was very wealthy. Luke records here that he was rich. A man despised by his own people and used by the Romans. But Jesus passed through Jericho to come to meet this man. The Bible tells us in verse number 3 that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Zacchaeus the publican. Zacchaeus the one liked by few. Probably many of his friends, just basically other publicans and people who wanted to get some of his wealth. But Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. He'd heard that Jesus was going to town, coming into town, and he wanted to see him. He didn't expect to get a meeting with Jesus. I don't think that at all. I don't think he expected that he would get a one-on-one meeting. I don't think he expected Jesus to come to his house. I don't know that he was really interested in a face-to-face meeting. He was just curious, who is this guy? Who is this Jesus that we've heard about? That the people are pressing around about to see. There's no indication here that Zacchaeus had a particular spiritual interest in Jesus, just that he wanted to see who he was. You know how it is when somebody famous is around. People want to go see. Well, there's a movie being shot in town. Let's go see. What movie is it? I don't know. It doesn't matter, but there's movie people here. Let's go see. Right? That's what people do. They want to be where the crowd is. Maybe I can get a chance to get my camera and get a selfie. And I'll be up here and they'll be way back there, but I can get that picture. If Zacchaeus had a camera, he may have thought, well, if I can get a selfie with me and this Jesus guy as he walks by, that would be great. And so here he is and he's wanting to see Jesus. He's peering in. He's having a look. He says, I want to see who this man is. But, Zacchaeus had a problem. Zacchaeus had a couple of problems to hinder him from seeing Jesus and from getting to Jesus. There are always problems in getting people to see Jesus. The problem is with most of us that we have no desire to see him. Many people say, I don't care, it doesn't matter to me. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:11 that there is none that seeketh after God. And that's the reality. You ask a lot of people, well, would you like to see Jesus? Would you like to hear about Jesus? Well, I don't really care too much to hear. That's what a lot of people would say. In Zacchaeus' case, though, there were two particular problems to him getting to see Jesus. Number one was the press. And that wasn't, the people from this channel of news and this channel of news and this newspaper. No, the press is speaking about the people that pressed to see Jesus. And it says in verse 3, he could not see Jesus for the press. The amount of people gathered around. Again, you know what it's like when there's a famous person. You know what it's like when there's a crowd of people you want to see. Who is it? And you're standing on your tippy toes. You're looking. You're ducking back and forth. I want to see. But when there's so many people, it's hard to see who you want to see. And often in Jesus' life and ministry, the people thronged about him. The people pressed in to hear him, pressed in to see him. Remember the story of the man who was paralytic and he needed to get, they wanted to get him to Jesus. He didn't have to break the roof and let him down through the roof. Why? Because the people were crowding in to see Jesus. It was not easy to get to see Jesus during his earthly ministry because his popularity of his healing and his teaching caused many people to want to get there. And so here is Zacchaeus, and he wants to see Jesus, but who's in the way? People. People are in the way. You know, I had to think about life and think about the problem sometimes. And what is the problem with people seeing Jesus today? Sadly, sometimes it's people, isn't it? People hinder others from seeing Jesus, from seeing the Lord. I don't mean about a physical sight. I don't mean a crowd of people in that sense, but I'm saying that people often hinder others from seeing the Lord. The doubters and the unbelievers, they cast doubt on Jesus' existence, and they make some people say, well, I guess it's not real. I guess God isn't real. I guess Jesus isn't real. And there's the atheism, and there's evolution that says there is no God, there is no creator, there is no... And so they hinder people from seeing Jesus, from seeing the Lord. They put blinders on people to say, well, no, you don't need to worry about that. There is no God. Just believe in yourself. Believe in humanism. And that turns many people and has turned many people away from the Lord. But you know, sometimes Christians get in the way too. You know, you think about this story and you think about some of those people that were pressing in were believers in Jesus. And they wanted to hear him too, and you can't fault them for that. But I think about life, and I think about people, and people know there's something lacking in their life and missing in their life, and they think, well, maybe it's God, but then they have some interaction with Christians who are poor testimonies of God, and they say, well, if that's what that's all about, then I don't want it. And they are turned away, they are hindered from seeing God because of the influence, the negative influence of some Christian that is in their life. And it's a sad thing, but true, that sometimes Christians stand in the way. They're people who really are seeking the Lord. And so here is Zacchaeus, and he is trying to see the Lord, maybe just out of curiosity. But all the same, he's trying to see the Lord, but he is hindered by the press. But he's also hindered by his physique. You see, the Bible says here that in verse 3, he could not see Jesus for the press because he was little of stature. He was vertically challenged. He was short. He wasn't a tall person. You know what it's like in a crowd when you're trying to see. You know, you see somebody tall and you think, man, I wish that was me. I could see over top of everyone's head. I've got a nephew who's 6'8". You know, in a crowd, he doesn't have to worry too much because his eyes at least are over above where most people's heads are in a crowd. I'm sure that as parents, we've all at some point or other, maybe we've been in a store with our children and maybe we've got separated from whoever we were with. Maybe it was our spouse or maybe it was somebody, you know, a family member, a friend that we're with. And we go, well, you know what? Let me put you on my shoulders and you can look and see if you can see mom. Or you can see if you can see grandma, grandpa, whoever it is, and you put your child on, why, to make them head and shoulders above everyone else. You look and see, and when you see, you point to where they are and, you know, wave and call them over, and then we'll figure it out. But you know, when you're short, I got two brothers, both taller than me. I didn't quite make 6 feet tall. You know, to them, I'm short. To my nephews, I'm short. I understand what Zacchaeus' problem here was. He could not see because of the press. Now he had a solution. He said, I'm going to climb a tree, a sycamore tree, way back where Jesus isn't yet. I'm going to go where he's headed to. I'm going to climb a tree and then I'll be able to see him when he comes my way. You know, I thought about that. I thought about Zacchaeus being too short to see the Lord. And I thought about what he did and I thought, you know, what he really did was he lifted himself up so he could see the Lord. Reminded me of Romans chapter 3 verse 23 where it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we can't see the Lord because of our sin. We are sinners and we fall short of His glory. We don't measure up, and it's hard for us to see. It's hard for us to understand His perfection. And people turn from the Lord because of their sin, because their sin hinders them from seeing God for who He is. But man has a solution. Man says, I will solve that problem. I'll make myself seem taller than I really am. And self-righteousness abounds, doesn't it? Isn't that what the problem was in Jesus' day? Isn't that the problem with this crowd that complained when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house? They said, oh, well, he's gone to the sinner's house. They didn't see themselves in the same light because they thought, we're a notch above him. He's short. Not only his stature, he's short in his morality, but we are better than him. And so man tries to lift himself up. But the reality is, we are sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us here that Zacchaeus climbed in the tree so he could see the Lord. But we see in the rest of the story, Jesus' pattern. You know, it's interesting to see Jesus pass through. There was a problem there. Mankind had a problem, Zacchaeus in particular in the text. But Jesus' pattern of reaching people is revealed to us here. The reason he came is revealed to us here in this last half of our text this morning. Zacchaeus couldn't get to Jesus, but Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus thought the solution is I'll make myself bigger so that the Lord can see me and see what a person I am. But Jesus, he was already seeking Zacchaeus. That's just Jesus. That's just who he was. That's who he is. He is seeking the lost. And so verse 5 says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. Wow. Zacchaeus said, I'm just going to wait down the road a little ways here. I'm going to climb this tree so that I can see Jesus when he passes by. Can you imagine Zacchaeus in that tree? I mean, Zacchaeus was a wealthy guy. He probably had some pretty fine clothing. And Zacchaeus, I don't imagine, was a young man. After all, he had gotten to the place where he was chief among the publicans. That probably took a while to get to that position. Can you imagine him climbing the tree? He probably wasn't really of tree climbing age. You know, you climb trees when you're young. When you're young and agile, because when you fall out, your bones are kind of rubbery and you usually don't break too much too bad. But Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, probably dressed in wealthy attire. What a sight to see Zacchaeus in that sycamore tree. The people are pressing about to see Jesus, and they're walking down the road, and I can see someone tap someone on the shoulder and say, look at that old guy up the tree. What's he doing? I mean, look at what's his problem? Why is he in a tree? He's going to fall down. Maybe we should stand underneath some of that gold that he's got around his neck. He might fall off. We could grab some when it falls. He climbed the tree in hopes of getting a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. I'm sure he expected just to see Jesus pass by, maybe hear Jesus' words and hear what Jesus was saying. We had a glimpse of who Jesus was, find out why are people so enthralled with him. But I don't think that he had any concept or any notion that when Jesus got to where he was, that he would stop the crowd and he would look up and say, hey, Zacchaeus. Wasn't there enough going on the ground? Wasn't there enough people crowding around Jesus? So why would he bother with this little guy climbing a tree? A guy that nobody liked anyway. He was an unlikely candidate to get Jesus' attention. After all, he was a publican. My friend, today you may have faced all kinds of hindrances in your life to see Jesus, but take heart. He's seeking you. He's seeking sometimes the least likely candidate, like Zacchaeus. You may have faced all kinds of hindrances, but he is seeking you. He sought Adam in the garden. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam was hiding because of his sin. But what was the Lord doing? Adam, Adam, this is that time of day where we usually walk together. Adam, are you there? He must needs go through Samaria in John chapter 4 because there was a woman waiting at the well of Samaria. Nobody liked her. She was an outcast. She was a woman who had had a troubled past. But Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Jesus passed through Jericho, not just in general, but he passed through Jericho because he was seeking Zacchaeus. And Jesus is seeking you today. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What was he looking for? He's looking for people who will trust him. And Jesus came seeking Zacchaeus, and he paused at the bottom of that tree. Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm coming to your house. Wait a minute, we haven't cleaned up yet. That's not what he said. What did Zacchaeus do? He came down immediately from the tree. He made haste, verse 6, and came down and received him joyfully. Oh, he wasn't worried about the mess that the house might have been in or what was on for supper or anything like that. No, Zacchaeus was thrilled that the Lord had called him by name. How did he know Zacchaeus' name? Because he's the Lord. He knows your name too. He knows my name. Oh, he knows how many hairs are here, and he knows that there's less today than there was yesterday, and definitely less than there was a few years ago. The hairs on our head are numbered. He knows all about, and Zacchaeus was thrilled that Jesus cared about him enough. Zacchaeus, come down, Jesus said, down from your self-righteousness. Zacchaeus, don't try and make yourself somebody who you're not. Just come down. I came to save you where you are. I came to seek you because I knew you need to be saved. Jesus' purpose for seeking you is to save you so that he may abide with you as well. See what he says there? I'm going to abide. I must abide at thy house. I wonder when Jesus came into Jericho that day. I wonder where Jesus is going to eat today. Oh, whose house is he going to eat at? Who's going to be honored with the presence of Jesus? Oh, I better be one of those priests who are back from serving in the temple that are you know, the ones that are really well known. One of those Pharisees, probably one of their... Oh, Jesus said, I must, Zacchaeus, come to your house. You know, the Bible says that Jesus knows who we are with all of our sin. Yet he came seeking for us, and he's still calling. In Revelation 3:20, and I know that it's referring primarily to the church, but some wonderful words in Revelation 3:20 where Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will what? Come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's a beautiful picture of salvation. The Lord is knocking at our door. His still small voice. Those pricks of conviction. He's waiting to come in because he came to seek and to save. Not just Zacchaeus, but you and I. And he wants to have fellowship with us. Oh, the joy to know that Jesus wants to fellowship with us and abide with us. Zacchaeus was very pleased. And Zacchaeus was penitent. It says in verse 7, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. Oh, no, not one of those sinners. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to thy house. This day is salvation come. Not everyone was happy like Zacchaeus was happy. Some people said, How can Jesus go to that publican's house? He's a sinner. Doesn't Jesus know who he is? Well, Jesus knew exactly who he was. That's why he came. He said in Luke 5, verses 31 and 32, Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came for people like Zacchaeus. But by the way, we're all like Zacchaeus. We may think, well, I'm not as bad as. Doesn't matter. God's standard, perfection, we all fall short. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Isn't it amazing how we see others so much differently than we see ourselves? These people said, Oh, he's gone to that sinner's house. What about what they'd done the day before? Their self-righteousness. They didn't see their own sin. They didn't see the lies that they told. They didn't think about the things that they stole. They didn't think about the disobedience. They'd been to the scriptures. They didn't think about the sin in their own life. They said, Zacchaeus is a sinner. We often see others a lot different than we see ourselves. If Jesus had gone to be a guest at the home of a priest or a Levite, that would have been expected. But Zacchaeus, the chief publican? But the meeting changed Zacchaeus' life, didn't it? Well, far more than he thought. He didn't fall out of a tree. That didn't change his life. He came down from the tree and he had Jesus in his house and he changed his life because he repented of his sin. He turned from his sin. He realized when he saw Jesus who he was. I'm not just short in stature. I'm short of what Jesus is. He saw Jesus' love and righteousness and he saw his own sinfulness. And the Bible says that it says there in verse 8, he said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord. Hey, this is the chief of the publicans. I don't think he called too many people Master. But when he met Jesus, he recognized who the Master really was, who the Lord was. He said, Lord, you are the Lord. I may have been called the chief of publicans, but I'm not the Lord. I'm not the Master. You, Lord, are the Master. And in his repentant state, he said, Lord, for what I've done, I'm going to give back because I realize I've been a sinner. You realize Jesus says salvation has come to this house today. Zacchaeus' life changed because he believed in the Lord. The evidence of it was his willingness to give of his things back and to make things right with those whom he had offended. What a day it had been in Jericho that day. What a day for Zacchaeus. My friends, when we see Jesus for who he is, it changes our lives. He is a life-changing person. He's God in the flesh. And he came to change our lives. He came to save us. He came to seek us. He came to save us. But we're not instantly made perfect when we get saved, but we are made new in him with new desires and new goals. And because Zacchaeus had turned from his sin, he said, I need to make some changes in my life because now I'm a child of God. Have you turned from your sin to the Savior? Are you consciously making those decisions, saying, now I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I can't do the things I used to do. I need to change. I need to do things differently. I think we have a mistaken situation in our life sometimes that we think that automatically everything will just change and automatically we'll just stop doing the things that we used to do and we'll just automatically stop using the language we used to use and we'll automatically have a better attitude and all those things. Well, God will help us, but we need to make some choices. You see what Zacchaeus said? He said, I'm gonna make some changes. I'm gonna give back. He made some decisions in his life. And we need to make some decisions in our lives. We need to realize that, hey, there's habits that I have that are wrong. And as I walk more with Christ, I can see that they're wrong. And so therefore, I need to deal with some of those things in my life. I need to make some decisions. But we see that not only was Zacchaeus penitent, but we see that Jesus' purpose then was revealed in verse number 10. Jesus said, salvation came to this house today because this is the reason that salvation came to this house today, because I came to seek and to save that which was lost. His purpose for coming. Through his visit to Jericho that day and the salvation of Zacchaeus, Jesus reveals his greater purpose in coming, not just to Jericho, but to come into the world. I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not only he come to Jericho to seek and save Zacchaeus, he come to earth to seek and to save billions of Zacchaeuses. The Zacchaeuses that live in 2017. The Zacchaeuses that are sat in this building and stood at this pulpit. The Zacchaeuses that are all around us in the neighborhood and the city and the region and the province and the country and the world. That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. To provide the salvation. You see, the purpose of Jesus extends far beyond Zacchaeus and Jericho. Jesus came seeking us because we were lost. You know, I said a moment ago that sometimes people don't seek the Lord. You know, that's the great thing about the Lord. He came seeking us even when we had no desire to seek Him. We didn't realize we're lost. We had no thought about being lost. We thought we're pretty good. We thought we're okay. You know, when you're truly lost, you need someone to come and find you. If you're truly lost, you can't find your own way back out, can you? Jesus came to save us. He came to seek us because we were lost. The Bible is clear that we were lost in sin and for the most part not even seeking a resolution to that because it really didn't bother us. Oblivious to our lost condition, thinking that we're okay. And Jesus came to save us because we were lost in sin. And being lost is a dangerous thing. You know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. We are lost in sin. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death and separation from God. That's a dangerous place to be. You know, sometimes people get lost and people, the search parties go out for people lost, especially this time of the year, right? When it gets cold. See, if they don't get found, they're going to die because it's too cold. They're not prepared to be out. There's peril at stake, and that's why people go seeking those who are lost. Jesus came seeking us who are lost because we are sinners who need to be saved from our lost condition. The Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Matthew 18:11. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In his coming to earth, Jesus provided the means of our salvation, his sacrificial death, and he showed that he cared enough to come and seek and save us. There was another chief that got saved one day. His name was Saul. And later on, he said this: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Like Zacchaeus, Saul the Pharisee of the Pharisees, said, "I'm lost. I need to be saved." Jesus' pattern is to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he passed through Jericho that day. He came to seek a publican named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a problem seeing Jesus. The people were in his way, and he was too short. But Jesus' trip to Jericho reveals his purpose in coming. His purpose to seek and to save the lost. Jesus passed through the earth. He passes through crowds of people and speaks to their heart about their need of salvation. He passes through and taps them on the shoulder and taps them in their heart and says, "You're lost and you need to be saved, but I came to save you." That's his purpose. As we celebrate the coming of Jesus to this earth at this time of the year, don't miss out on why he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. If you have your house all decorated, the gifts all bought, but you haven't received the greatest gift, salvation through Jesus Christ, you have an empty Christmas when it's all said and done. You've missed out on the most important reason to celebrate. Christian, if your focus is all about the decorations and gifts, but you fail to share the greatest gift, you too have missed out on the reason to celebrate his coming. Jesus came to save, and he's still seeking the lost today. He's looking for you, and he knows exactly who you are and where you are. Have you received his salvation? Have you responded to his voice when he said, "Come down, and I come to your house"? Christian, are you seeking the lost on behalf of the Savior? Because we are his feet today to go and seek the lost that he wants to save. He came to save. Let's pray together.